D. Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary. At Bet365, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes. The gang's all here. It's been a minute since we've all been together.
Yes, it has been, and it's great to have all three voices back on the radio. So cheers.
I'm rejuvenated, reinvigorated, recharged.
All the rees. Hey, but listen, you know what? Today is the greatest day in cinematic history, okay?
Why is that?
One of the greatest movies that has ever been written and then put on screen, one of the greatest musicals. And if you know me, you know what I'm talking about, because 47 years ago today,
Grease,
this movie came out. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good day today. Oh, yeah.
Where did your fascination with Grease begin?
It started in grade school.
Okay.
I was fifth, sixth grade in music class. Because back then, Willie, you know, in music class or in a class where the teacher really don't want to do any assignments that day. And she wanted to be a free day. And everybody loved free days. So they would roll this big, you know, thing out with this huge TV on it.
Remember when TVs had backs?
Yeah, this TV had a back, a big back. Okay,
big back.
And they rolled it out, and underneath that TV with a big back, and I know some of you young folks on the other side of that glass, Emily and all y'all probably saying, what is a big television?
Not all TVs were flat screens.
Yeah,
guys.
All TVs weren't like an inch thick, okay? We're talking about 50 inches thick, okay? But they would roll the TV in with the huge VCR underneath it, and they would slide the VHS, yes, people, VHS in. And lo and behold, that is the day that I fell in love with Grease.
Very
that
nice.
That day.
You want to hear something crazy? This is where I'm at. I went to that movie in the theater in 1978. I guess that's what – is that right? 47 years ago, is that right?
Yeah, we're close, yeah.
I went, and I remember it vividly, and I had the record with the soundtrack jamming out to all the great tunes. I got them all imprinted on my brain right now. So I am not the equal of D-Mace. I don't know anybody that's the equal of D-Mace in his love for that movie, but I definitely have nothing but love for Grease.
Grease is one of the greatest.
The happy Grease.
Cinema.
Grease is the word.
Happy
today.
Grease Day. Yeah, Grease is the word. Oh, I love it. Today is Grease is the word. All right, David back there. So Grease is a word, whether it's a song you play in and out of the breaks, or it's something that, you know, one of the characters say.
It's the Grease Day.
It's
That's
the
what
Grease
we're
Day.
Do.
There we go. Boom.
My favorite line.
Pull out the soundtrack. Pull out the soundtrack.
My favorite line is a hickey from Kinnicky is like a Hallmark card. That is my favorite line from that film. Also, I want to wish a happy belated Father's Day to all the Titans moms and fatherly figures out there.
Wow. Listen.
When your social media team can't even wish your fans a happy Father's Day correctly, you know why your team is at the bottom of the NFL.
Y'all don't give a damn about the fathers on the team. That's the problem. Good Lord.
Oh, they can't even do that right.
Man, the Titans, I swear, y'all, at times y'all just give the fans what they don't want, and that's laughter, okay? They don't want people to be laughing about their franchise, and lo and behold, and this has nothing to do with Amy or anybody else. Whoever's in that department, that social media department, come on, y'all got to do better than that.
It was a poor cutting and pasting job. We've all been
that.
There. But
we all did. We've all done it.
We've all had it.
But I haven't done it for a $1 billion company, though.
No, that is true.
You've done it for D-Mace Incorporated,
exactly.
But not.
I've done it for myself.
Yeah.
So what did I miss? So, look, I know the two of you.
You didn't miss much, Adam, because you were tweeting us and texting us.
Okay,
hold on.
Hold on. Time out. So I want to be clear about a couple of things. Okay. Yes, I did share some stories and some tweets and some things while I was away, but I did it at quiet moments when I wasn't interacting with my family. For example, I sent you all the story about Zakai Ziegler.
Yes.
When I was sitting on the beach, my wife and mother-in-law and my son and my niece were on a walk, so I was by myself. I had a quiet moment. I don't think that's out of bounds. By the way, that beach, I texted Willie this. That beach, I went to beautiful Dunedin, Florida, which was nearby where my where my in-laws live. And for those of you who don't know, Dunedin is the longtime spring training home of the Toronto Blue Jays. Mm. So I thought to myself, 30-something years ago, this hotshot baseball prospect by the name of Will Donick was probably trolling these same beaches, scoping out the ladies.
That is absolutely true. 1993 and 94, a couple of spring trainings with the Jays.
Young Willie Donick.
25th round pick. I did spend two, and I spent, get this, the extended spring training, which is not not what you want to be. And this was a precursor of why my career was short, because I did not jump up into the full season team. So they held me back, but we had an absolute blast in Dunedin for about 3 months. And then what they have is a shorter season starts in about June. So I had a May, an April and a May in Dunedin in 1994. And man, did we have a plush setup with, especially for a minor leaguer, because just being in Dunedin, you're close to the jet skis. And I'm sure you saw a few of those, Adam, but, on the beach there, and, you know, could go do this or do that. It was a little bit better than being in, no offense to Medicine Hat or St. Catharines, where I played my minor league seasons, but wasn't all bad.
I'm picturing, speaking of Greece, I'm picturing the opening beach scene with Danny Zuko, with Willie and his flavor of the month. And they don't want to say goodbye, but Willie says, I don't have to say goodbye. I'm staying for extended spring training.
Yeah. I wish. I wish I had met Olivia Newton-John. If I could have met Olivia Newton-John, I would have been in heaven.
I think everybody would have been in heaven then.
Your Sandy, she was sad that she thought you had to leave, and you say, nope, I get to stay.
I'm extending my stay.
My baseball career may be in the drain, but I get to stay with you.
Right, right.
So I heard what Jeffrey Simmons had to say when he addressed reporters at mandatory minicamp. I found his response to be unsatisfying.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. I think a lot of people would agree with you.
The sense that I got was he knew that he was going to be asked about it. He probably rehearsed it a couple of times. And I thought the follow-up questions were good. You could tell that he was trying to refer back to the original statement. But it left too much of the proverbial door open for speculation. Like, it's a personal decision. Mm-hmm. Is it a personal decision because he disagrees with something that the team did? Is there something going on in his life? Like, I thought that he could have nipped it in the bud, but instead I feel like he extended the news cycle with how he answered that question.
Yeah, but that's, you know, if you've been, like we all have been, following Jeff since he's gotten in the NFL, and more in particular, since he's became, quote unquote, the leader, is that, you know, these things tend to occur where he says some things and not really want to get into it and kind of make it vague, or something happens and he addresses it a certain way. That's just, you know, that's just the way he chooses to, you know, navigate through, you know, whatever questions he had, whatever questions that are being asked of him. And but this time, I think, and we've discussed this, and it's good to have Adam on now because, you know, he can give his perspective from a journalist aspect when you're asking these questions. And do you continue to push, or do you just kind of leave it alone? But I don't think he did himself a service. I think he did himself a disservice, because, you know, one, if you knew you were going to miss, you discussed it with the coach. The coach is going to be asked, and there should be a uniform answer between you and the head coach. Okay, if it's personal, then, Jeff, what is it? Do you just want to, you know, work out with your guys for the last, you know, day or two before you come into camp? Let us know. So then we can sort of address it that way. So when you come back, the message is the same across the board. But it doesn't seem like there was any, you know, cohesiveness within their answers. And then when you ask Jeff, it's like, well, it's personal. It was personal reasons. And well, what are the personal reasons? Well, it all was personal. Well, what was it, Jeff? And some people may have asked because they were concerned. Like, oh, what's really going on? Like, what's going on? But some people asked because they just wanted to know, and they didn't care whether it was good or bad. I get that.
Yeah, they're prying a little bit. Exactly. So let me ask Adam this from the journalistic angle. I gave my perspective on it last week when D-Mace and I hit it in the moment. But you just hit on, I think, a key point that people listening may not understand the dynamic. Sometimes you're in the press conference. You're a reporter trying to get the right answer. And then you've got the PR team and you've got the player, right? And it's, as you said, it's probably gone through. How are we going to answer these questions? Well, let's go through it. Let's talk you through it. Let's get our bullet points. Some players maybe pay more attention to that than others. Some are more natural at being able to handle it. But you said refer back to the original statement. There's no question that that's what he was sort of coached to do, right? And so you can pick up on this as a reporter, Adam. So tell us about that and how that works and your mindset as a reporter as when to try to press the issue a little bit, knowing that he's trying to limit what he's going to say.
Yeah, and I guess the word I would use to describe the tone that Jeffrey Simmons had when answering those questions was dismissive, almost as if he were trying to say, without actually saying it, why are you asking me about this? I wasn't here. It was a personal decision. Let it go. That's the vibe I got from listening to it. But it is a delicate balance, especially when you're dealing with a serious topic. Now, I know there's been some reporting about something with Jeffrey Simmons. Is it child support?
It's a special needs son that reportedly he has, and there's been some discussions and working back and forth with the mother on support and needs and things like that. And that is
like
a personal matter, but it is, I guess it's gone into the courts.
Okay.
No, that's why it's become a story.
I think TD did come on, and I believe on Jarrett's show, he did say that whatever problem they did have, they cleared it up.
Okay.
It says it's
okay.
Cleared up now.
So
that's good to hear.
The way that he answered that those questions, as I said, the tone, the word I would use to describe his tone is dismissive. And I believe, you know, he's asked the initial question, why weren't you here? He says it's a personal decision, all of this other stuff. I believe it was Steve Lehman who followed up, personal to football? And he just repeated what he said or attempted to repeat exactly what he said the first time. So there is a delicate balance in trying to pry an interview subject into giving more information. But there does come a point where you realize you're not getting anything and you do not want to bring about any sort of unnecessary confrontation. So, I mean, there have been times, maybe this is not the best example, but the example that immediately comes to mind, and Willie, you'll remember this vividly, several years ago when Austin Watson, former Predators forward, was arrested after I guess you could describe it as a domestic dispute with his girlfriend.
Right. And it happened at a gas station, and so there was a lot of questions because it happened out in the open.
Right.
And there was a big follow-up, et cetera.
So I remember he was suspended for a third of the season. I believe it was 27 games, I want to say, which, if I recall correctly, was the longest suspension for an off-ice incident in at least recent NHL history, perhaps all of NHL history. But I remember his suspension was reduced. So he was going to come back
right
on a road game in Arizona. So I actually had to book a flight like at last minute to fly from Nashville to Phoenix, drive to Glendale so I could talk to Austin Watson. And Austin Watson, he was prepared. He gave a bit of a statement, if I recall, in the dressing room. And I was there and Paul Skorbina was there. And we were trying to ask more specific questions. And Watson was coached not to delve too far into it. But in a situation like that, you're trying to get more information, but you're also trying to be sensitive to what that person is going through. So it's a bit of a dance. So I thought the questions that were asked of Jeffrey Simmons, I thought they were the right questions, but I don't think there was going to be any sort of question that was going to get more out of Jeffrey Simmons than we ultimately got. And I just think that Titans fans were hoping for some more information, hoping for a reason that seemed justified or justifiable to them. And I don't think they got that. So I still think the questions remain about Jeffrey Simmons. But ultimately, he's not going to miss training camp, presumably. Mm-hmm. When he comes to training camp, and if he practices well, and he does well in the joint practices, and then he gets into the season and he's playing well, nobody's going to remember any of this stuff. The thing that's making this a story is the fact that Jeffrey Simmons has not been the Jeffrey Simmons now for a few years, which adds on to what's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just, you know, one, he's not playing, like you said, Adam, he's not playing up to the level or the standard that he set 3 years ago. Was it two or three seasons ago? He hasn't reached that standard yet. He's dipped each and every season after that. Now, listen, it hasn't been, you know, something where he's been a bad player, but he set the bar high. And he's not playing up to that bar, and we know that he's capable of playing, and I'm sure he expects to play at that level. So not only is it that, but it's the episodes or the incidents that have happened over the last 2 years that makes one think, like, is Jeffrey really the leader of this team or guy that wants to lead but don't know how to lead? I'm not sure which one it is, but it tend to – you know, be leaning a little bit toward the guy that wants to lead but doesn't know quite how to yet. So this is why now we are looking deeper into this. And I'm going to tell you this, and I've said this before about other players. Jeffrey Simmons knows one thing, well, two things, and one thing for sure. This is a contract year for him. He understands that. This is a contract year for him. There's a reason why he chose, and I guarantee you, he was at home working out, more than likely. He wasn't at home messing around or doing, no, he was at home working out because he understands that this is the year that he needs to get back up to that bar that he set so he can get those millions of dollars that he wants for this next, because this will be his last contract. You see what the guy with Cincinnati is going through. Hell, Cincinnati got two players that one is sitting out the first round draft pick and the other may not report to camp because he wants a new deal.
How strange is that? Is it Chamar Stewart?
Yes.
For a rookie to hold out?
Yeah, and they say it is because of language within the contract, something only Cincinnati would probably do. but Jeffrey understands that this is a contract here, and he can say whatever, anything else and try to debunk it, and I would too if I was a player. But this is a contract year, and he understands that. So anytime he can spend, you know, with his trainer working on his craft, he's going to do that. That's basic. And don't be surprised if we're in a situation next year where Jeff is not coming to camp.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. It's good to be back. If you have thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons, any particular Grease memories from watching the film?
Yes.
It is that day, so you can let us know at 615-737-1025. But speaking of Jeffrey Simmons, I'm glad that we talked about Jeffrey Simmons because we're going to do an exercise throughout the week. We're going to start it coming up next. This today's version includes Jeffrey Simmons. It's best case, worst case, Titans edition. And I'll explain that coming up next, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Body Rock. Plank, lunge, twist, and push your limits with Body Rock's dynamic muscle sculpting Pilates-inspired classes designed to rock your body to the core. Get half off a $50 gift card now with thegamenashville.com/deals to use at any of Body Rock's four Nashville locations while supplies last.
Lewis Reddick, this is the greatest soundbite. This is what everybody's talking about right here. We were all wondering, like, what's he going to do between now and the first snap of training camp?
It's been good from growing, learning, especially being with the vets, getting our timing down, so I'm excited for the summer.
What's your plan for the next 5 to 6 weeks before you report to camp, and will you gather with your receivers and some of the other quarterbacks and go over things just to kind of refresh everybody?
Just work out, stay in the playbook, and throw the out the ball.
All right.
I like it.
Don't you?
I do. Right? I do.
Kind of like seeing this right now.
That's fun.
And if you're a Titan fan, you got to be fired up.
That was Rich Eisen on Cam Ward. Rich Eisen loves him some Cam Ward. I don't think there is a national NFL personality who talks more about Cam Ward than Rich Eisen. Maybe Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football. He's a big Cam Ward guy. But Rich Eisen, you can always count on him talking about Cam Ward. So we're going to do an exercise this week called Best Case, Worst Case, Titans edition. And actually, before I explain that, Adam from Portland is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Adam, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Adam, hope your vacation was nice, man. So I think Greece is like an American guilty pleasure, like throughout. I think everybody loves it. If you don't love it, there's something like personally hurt exactly. and missing in your life if you can't enjoy Greece.
So, amen.
Hey, and I was in it in high school, man. Like, so I'm telling you, there's a lot of people with that stuff on their iPods. They're just not talking about it. But
hold up. So, you were in it, Adam?
Yeah, I was in it in high school. We put it on in Robertson County. Okay. We put it on in 2005. So,
okay, do tell. What was it? Were you Kanicki? Were you Danny? No.
I was Sonny. I was the one that got drunk at prom. I got drunk at prom and was chasing the girl around. Yeah, it was so much fun though too, putting that on, dude. Like, if I ever have an opportunity to see somebody like T-Pac or somebody off Broadway doing it, I go to it, because I know those guys are going to have a lot of fun doing it, so we'll probably enjoy it. But I am calling about Jeff because heard D-Mace just say something. He's like, hey, there's a chance he could hold out next year. Would that mean that if you we're still wanting to get value for Jeff D-Mace, would you try to move him right now or try to move him next year before he becomes a problem? Like, I don't know what that would mean, but that's very interesting to me.
Thank you for the call, Adam.
Thank you for the call, Adam. I'm not sure the Titans are looking to move him this year. One, because unless you're getting players back today that can play now, Brian Callahan's job is on the line, and he can't afford to lose good players right now. Now, after the season's done, maybe Jeff has a tremendous season. He's still under contract. Maybe you can try to get a little bit more for him. But I wouldn't rule it out that something may happen during the season. If the Titans aren't where they need to be or where they want to be, then there's a potential move of some players like they did last season. Was it last season, Willie, or the season before that when they traded Henry? Not traded Henry, but Byard, and it was Byard in the middle of the season. Right. And then D-Hop, they got rid of D-Hop too in a trade. So that can potentially happen. But if the Titans are still in it and they're looking to be a good team and the quarterback is developing, then that may happen the next following offseason. Not during the season, not during this season. That's something that may happen, you know, as many camps get ready to start, and then you start to see, well, Jeffrey is holding out because he wants a new car. And listen, he wouldn't be wrong for doing that. I'm not saying this is like something bad in Jeffrey Simmons. No, he wouldn't be wrong in doing it. If he has a great season or a season that he had two seasons ago, then he should warrant more money. But that's going to put the Titans in a dilemma where, you know, now are we really seeking out a deal? Either we do it before or we do it after. Which one are we going to roll the dice and hope that he has a okay season and maybe it's a little bit easier to move him? Or if he has a great season, you know, and you got to pay him, are you willing to give him that much money?
So,
Adam, I said this last week while you were gone, and I'm standing by it. Because all of what D-May said is correct. We did an exercise of who do you think will be do you think that the following players will be on the team when the new stadium opens in 2027? And we think it's less than 50-50 that Jeffrey Simmons will even be on the team at that point, regardless of what happens. So therefore, I'm of the belief that if you're Mike Borgonzi, I would shop him around. I would see what you could get. His trade value is only going to go down from now until then. So especially if D-Mace, your scenario comes out with contract disputes and things like that, then I would try to get value while I could now, because you know, you're going to get more now. You're not. I hate to just dump him for like a third round pick or a second round pick when you could maybe get more today. But that's my thinking, but I'm just putting it out there.
So let's actually start with Jeffrey Simmons. I was going to start with Cam Ward, but since we're talking about Jeffrey Simmons, let's start with Jeffrey Simmons. So throughout the week, we're going to do this exercise. Best case, worst case, Titans edition. And each day, we're going to talk about one offensive player or position group and one defensive player or position group. So, surprise, today we're doing Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons. So we want all of you to participate as well at 615-737-1025. Your best case and worst case scenarios for these players or position groups that we're going to unveil throughout the week. And be realistic, people. For example, don't call or text and say, best case scenario, Cam Ward leads the Titans to a Super Bowl win, and he is named Super Bowl MVP.
But that's the best case.
That would be the best case.
That would technically be the best case. But let's be realistic, people, as we're doing this. So let's start with Jeffrey Simmons, since we've been talking so much about him at the start of the show. So for me, when I'm thinking about these things, I'm thinking about them statistically. You don't have to think about them statistically. You can think about them any way you want. So I want to thank CBS Sports HQ for this, by the way, because remember, we've been talking about the Titans defense and the yards allowed versus the points allowed and the discrepancy. And I stumbled across this the other day from CBS Sports HQ. So I want to thank them very much for answering a question I have been wondering for a very long time. The Titans were the first team to rank both bottom three in scoring defense and top three in total defense since the 1960 Chicago Bears. Derek Mason, how many teams were in the NFL in 1960?
Maybe a handful.
13. A baker's dozen.
That's a handful right there.
A baker's dozen. The Titans were the first team since 1960 to rank both bottom three in scoring defense and top three in total defense. So I'm glad that I finally have the numbers to back that up. So it's been a long time since the Titans defense, well, any defense did what the Titans defense did last season. So with Jeffrey Simmons, this according to PFF, his pass rush grade last season was a career high. He tallied 45 quarterback pressures, including 5 sacks. To me, that number, the sacks, is what sticks out. For me, a best case scenario for Jeffrey Simmons on the field is he needs to have, I want to say, at least 8 sacks next season. If I think that Jeffrey Simmons is having a good season, a bounce back season, he needs to have at least 8 sacks. His career high is 8.5. That was in 2021. Since then, he has 7.5, 5.5, and 5. And per 17 games, that is an average of 7.1. So best case scenario for me, for Jeffrey Simmons on the field, is that he records at least 8 sacks next season. Now, you can talk about off the field. Maybe he develops into that leader that the Titans really want him to be, and we all are skeptical that he can become. But on the field, Willie Donick, my best case scenario for Jeffrey Simmons, at least 8 sacks.
I think that's a good measure. And we obviously hit this because Brian Callahan talked about specifically sacks last week and says we want more. And at the same time, as we've said for a long time, especially last year, it's not always just the sack number. But I think 8, 8.5 is a good reasonable number, and it could mean that other guys are getting sacks. To me, the team sack number is the number one thing, and what does Jeffrey Simmons have to do with that? And if the team is getting a lot of sacks, then Jeffrey Simmons probably should have at least 8 in there for sure. So I think that's a good one. My best-case scenario, I'm still saying, is you trade him for a first-round pick and a second-round pick.
So your best-case scenario is that Jeffrey Simmons isn't on the team anymore.
Well, he's not going to be on the team the next time the team's good.
That's
so
fair.
That's how I look at it. And so, you know, like, we did this exercise. Try to find 6 players that you know for sure are going to be on the team in 2027 when the new stadium opens. And you're going to be hard-pressed to come up with 6. It's a sad exercise, honestly. And when you look at the age of Jeffrey Simmons, when he, you know, he'll be 30 that year. If he's still on the team, that is kind of a best-case scenario. If he's still 30 and playing well, that would be awesome. But I don't know. I mean, usually, most players start to decline at that point. So I stay with my original statement.
Derek, your best case for Jeffrey Simmons?
Best case scenario is that, you know, he has a great season and he's here for the long run. They find a way to work out a contract. That's my best case scenario for Jeffrey Simmons, because I think if he has a Jeffrey Simmons type of season that we saw him have when he was at his best, then that means I think the team's going to be better, which means Brian is coming back another year. Which means there's some continuity going into the next following year. So that's best case scenario for me. Worst case scenario is that Jeffrey plays well, but they still trade him. I think that's worst case scenario. You're still able to get something for him, and you go that route. But I think on both, whether it be my worst case or my best case scenario, I think the Titans still benefit and Jeffrey still benefits from both scenarios.
615-737-1025. Your best and worst case scenarios for Jeffrey Simmons. We'll also do the same exercise for Cam Ward. Willie and I will share our worst case scenarios for Jeffrey Simmons on the other side. 615-737-1025. Also be listening in the next segment, because at the end of that segment, I have something to give away. So be listening to that. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
Well, it's funny, right? Stats can be real misleading, and I think that's what my insight as an analyst is. If you look at the total defense by yards per game, they're number 2 in the NFL from last year. Pass yards and obviously rushing yards allowed. That was good statistically, but if you look at scoring defense, the only thing that matters, how many points you give up, they're 3rd worst in the NFL. So how can you be so good in total yards per game, but so bad in points per game? And points per game is what I care about. And that right there means you got to stop giving up touchdowns. You can hold up not that many yards, but on 3rd down, you let up a 7-yard or a 6-point, 7-point touchdown as opposed to a field goal. That comes down to rush and coverage. You need guys on 3rd down to get stops. Lajarius Sneed should be healthier this year. They paid a lot of money for him to show up in the secondary. I know Amani Hooker has been a consistent player for them in the secondary, and Jeffrey Simmons should be back healthy. So on 3rd down, you got to think about pass rush. You got to think about guys in cover. You got to keep points off the board. And the Titans are really good in one stat, but really bad in letting points up. So I think it should be a little better this year. Some of the key contributors being healthy, getting those stops on 3rd down, leading the field goals instead of touchdown.
That was ex-Titans cornerback Logan Ryan now doing some analysis for CBS Sports HQ, which is where I found that great stat that I've been looking for many, many months. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, talking best case, worst case. And we're starting with Jeffrey Simmons since he's been a hot topic of conversation. Derek gave his best case and his worst case. Willie and I gave our best case. So Willie and I are going to give our worst case. And mine sort of piggybacks off of what Willie was talking about. That Jeffrey Simmons has another down season by his standards, 5 sacks or less. And one thing that I noticed on SpotTrack, that the Titans have a potential out in Simmons' contract after this season. So I guess the worst case scenario would be that Jeffrey Simmons doesn't play well. Maybe other teams get a sense that his leadership qualities are not up to snuff. And he devalues himself so that the Titans can't get that first round pick that Willie is hoping for Jeffrey Simmons. And they either have to give him away or they move on from him and cut bait. That would be the worst case scenario for me, Willie.
I would agree. I have a very similar version. I go back to Harold Landry, and give me credit, I was saying it at the time, that I would have researched the trade not last year but the year before for Harold Landry when the same year that they traded Kevin Byard. I was saying shop around Landry while you can, and what ends up happening, they hang on to him. They can't find a trade. It's too late. His cap hit is too high. They release him, and he is snapped up immediately for a lesser price by the Patriots. So you get nothing in return for an asset. For a team that has been on record as saying they want more draft picks. They need more draft picks. So that would be worst case scenario to me, is that, like you said, Adam, Jeffrey Simmons has something else physically that keeps him from being a great player. And by the end of the year, you're wrestling with, are we paying him way more than his value right now? And he has no trade value. So that to me is the worst case scenario. The Harold Landry situation. Not that you would have gotten a first round pick for Landry or anything, but I think you could have gotten a decent pick at the right time. Not last year, but the year before.
One texter says the best case scenario for Simmons is that he is rejuvenated and has two more years of good play before trading / retiring. Worst case scenario is becomes the company on Stillman and Company. Can you
that
imagine?
That would be hilarious.
Can you imagine?
Mm-mm-mm. I am trying to, because they lost, and I don't know how, because you're right, Willie. Maybe they should have pushed for more of a trade for Harold Landry 2 years ago when they had an opportunity, to potentially get something for him. But they chose not to. But I wonder if losing him through free agency. Or did they cut him?
They cut him.
So
there were
not
the
free
reports.
Agency, yeah.
There were the reports that the Titans had granted him and his representation permission to seek a trade, which is usually a precursor to, well, nobody's trading for you, so we're going to cut you. And that's ultimately what happened. And then it felt like only a few days later he was snapped up by Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, so they I was trying to figure out if they would receive a compensatory pick the next following year, but they didn't lose him via free agency. They chose to cut him. So that's not going to happen.
It looks like it was 2 days after he was released by the Titans, he was signed by the Patriots.
Yeah, so they're not going to get it. Yes, I guess from that standpoint, you know, you want to try to be proactive and see if you can facilitate a trade. But I'm not doing that unless the season is at a point where, you know, we're not going to be a playoff team and is evident. Then I would be looking to move Jeffrey Simmons. I guess that's worst case scenario. Then I would be looking to move Jeffrey Simmons. But if not, if he's playing well and you're winning, that's the dilemma you're in. Because you know in the offseason there's going to be a contract dispute. There will. It may not, spill out and be ugly, but there will be a contract dispute where, I want more money. No, you continue to work under the old contract, or we're trying to facilitate a contract or a trade. So that is coming down the pipe, best believe, unless the Titans just say, you know what, forget it. We're going to get Jeffrey what he wants. We want to keep him here. But you're right. If it's looking like it's not a season, then try to move him, because then you'll be able to get something for him. If not, I think it's going to be hard on the back end to get something for him. But again, if you're having a good season, man, that's what you want. And you try to find a way to make it work out before the season ends.
And Willie, as our friend Elliot Freeman likes to say, that when a team is trying to make a trade, the other GMs, they don't throw a life preserver, they throw an anvil. And that's
right.
That's exactly what I feel like the worst case scenario would be. I was thinking back to Kevin Byard.
Mm-hmm.
because the Titans traded Kevin Byard to the Philadelphia Eagles. They were 2-4 at the time of that trade, and the Titans received safety Terrell Edmunds, who was just a warm body, a 2024 fifth and sixth round pick in exchange for Byard. That was the trade. Now, if I recall correctly, Byard at that point was starting to trend down a little bit. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no. I mean, he still was playing good, but yeah,
he wasn't the other way. Exactly. The ball hawk
with a high price.
Exactly. And so Willie, we have been talking about this. We have been talking about either trade him before the season, because we were like, man, you may want to trade him before the season. So everybody went crazy, and they end up trading him in the middle of the season.
I would say, Willie, I have to think back to how I felt 2 years ago, but that seems like not great value for Kevin Byard, even a maybe diminished Kevin Byard. So I guess that would be the worst case scenario, is that Simmons struggles out of the gate. The Titans also struggle out of the gate, and they ultimately move him for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, I actually think that they did fairly well to get what they got for Byard under the circumstances, because I think there would have been a lot of players who, with his contract, that would have been cut the summer before, and there was a whole uproar, right, where they asked him to take a pay cut. Mm-hmm. It got out, and it became a big, big story. Kevin Byard was very outspoken. You remember he was talking to Taylor Lewan on his podcast, and he did some interviews, but the bottom line is, when you get to that age and you're getting that money at safety, you don't have a lot of value. So I think they did well to get that, you know, to get a couple of the draft picks. I don't know if those have turned into anything, but it's better than getting nothing. But I don't think teams are proactive enough. I think the Patriots through the years, remember D-Mace, they used to do this. Richard Seymour would be one. Lawyer Malloy, where you trade the guy before he starts to devalue. You get better trade return, and everybody kind of goes wild, and you say, why would you trade this guy? But if you feel like you have the and it's easy to say when you were the Patriots and you had Tom Brady, right, and you had good teams. But I think oftentimes you get into that dilemma. You just stated it really well, D-Mace. You're like, I can't replace this guy. I don't have a backup anywhere as good as Harold Landry or Kevin Byard. What am I going to do without this guy? But I think if you're the GM, you have to look past that and say, you know what? I have to do what's best for the team, and it may put my job in jeopardy, but I'm not going to win if I keep these guys. That's the hard decision you have to make. We're not going to win if we keep these guys. I have to try to get maximum value back. I don't think teams do that enough. They go to your side and say, well, let's dig in. Let's keep them for one more year, and let's see if we can have a bounce back.
Well, it's Barry said it best, and you know, I think this is how, you know, a lot of GMs, if not all, ultimately operate. My goal and my responsibility is to do what's best for the team, the organization, not one in particular player. Now, we may, you know, try a little bit harder if it's that right person. But ultimately, I have to do what's best for the organization. And that's what the Titans, you know, they may find themselves in that situation this season, entering into next season. They found themselves in that position before with Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry. They chose to hold on to Derrick Henry, and they chose to trade away Kevin Byard and DeAndre Hopkins. You know, so whichever way they choose to go, moving forward in regards to Jeffrey Simmons, it's all going to be predicated on whether they're winning or losing. Basically, if they're losing, you're going to see them move some guys, because what do they want? They want picks. They want development. They want retain. None of these guys, it's a few Brinker drafted. None of these guys, Borgonzi, well, I guess if this past year's class, Borgonzi drafted. But before that, these ain't his guys. So if he can move some of these veterans at the trade deadline because they're not doing well, best believe they're going to try to do that.
615-737-1025. We will do best case, worst case with Cam Ward. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. I did say that I do have something to give away, which is what I'm going to do right now. At if you are caller number, let's say caller number two, David James, if you are caller number two at 615-737-1025, you will win a pair of tickets to see Incubus at Bridgestone Arena next Wednesday, June 25th. Incubus performing Morning View in its entirety, plus the hits with special guests Manchester Orchestra and Paris Jackson. 615-737-1025, caller number two. We'll receive a pair of tickets to see Incubus next Wednesday at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.